Okay, well, good afternoon, everyone. Go ahead and open your Bible to the book of Luke, chapter 15.
Luke 15. We'll go from verse 1 through 32. It's the whole chapter. But we're going to skip verses 3 through 10 because we preached that 2 weeks ago. This is part 2 of Jesus' parables, what's known as the lost parables. My microphone seems a little bit high. If we could turn it down just a little bit. So, if you'll just be careful, I'll read from verse 1 and 2 and then go down to verse 11. And please join me at the latter half at verse 25. Okay? So I'll read 1 through 24 and then please join me at verse 25. So, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." Let's read together, verse 25. "Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied. 'Your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. Pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitute, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we have had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. The very words of Jesus. Amen. I have two brothers and one sister. I am the eldest brother amongst my siblings. Yeah, and I understand this brother's feeling. My two brothers, they're much younger than I am, and I always judged them when I was small. My second brother, the one born after me, he was always whining, always spoiled. I always thought, stop your whining. Quiet down. My mother would give him everything he wanted, always coddled him. And so I not only judged my little brother, I also judged my mother. How could you spoil him? Why do you listen to his whining voice? Yeah. So I'm the older brother in this story. Oh, I think that's one of my children. Maybe my six sons. So, the older brother. Yeah. So I needed the gospel. I needed to understand who Jesus is. Ah, okay. So I don't know about you. I don't know if you're the older brother or the older sister. But even if you're not the older brother or the older sister, if you're from a family, there's always one person in the family that's called the black sheep of the family. You know, they're the ones who are careless with their money. They always lose their job, or they're not good with keeping friends, or they always say the wrong things. They're kind of, you know, the outsider. And it could be your younger siblings or even the older one, right? It could be anybody. And there's always somebody judging them. Why can't you do this right? Why can't you be more like so-and-so? Why do you have to be so terrible? All that, right? That's called a family. Okay. That's just normal. Well, Jesus gives us a great story. Maybe one of the most famous stories that Jesus teaches. You know, there's the story of the Good Samaritan, probably the most popular. If you find a stranger who is suffering, you give all you can to help that person. That's the story of the Good Samaritan. I think probably the second most famous story about Jesus, or that Jesus gives, is this story known as Hotomusko, right? The prodigal son. Prodigal means lavish, extravagant, wasteful. That's the meaning of prodigal, and that's also the meaning of Hotomusko. That's the famous title for this story, but that's the wrong title, actually. The title for this story should be The Older Brother. And the reason that should be the title is because that's the theme of three stories that Jesus gives in chapter 15. The reason Jesus gives these three stories is because of verse 2. If you look at verse 2, in Luke chapter 15, you'll notice that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, complained, grumbled, "This Jesus welcomes sinners and eats with them." Jesus is gathering larger and larger crowds around him. More and more people are following him from chapter 11. And while he is gathering a bigger following, there are the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, the religious people. And they look at the people following Jesus. They see that Jesus is welcoming and accepting terrible people, bad people, no good people, the black sheep. And they look at those people and say, if Jesus is a godly man, if Jesus is a prophet of God, why does he welcome ungodly, dirty, bad people? Why does he eat with them? Why does he have fellowship? And they're complaining. You don't know God. You're not a prophet. You are not a holy man. And so Jesus gives the three stories. The lost sheep. The shepherd loses one sheep out of 99. He goes to find the sheep. The woman loses one coin out of 10. And she cleans her house until she finds the one lost silver coin. And then this story, the father forgives his lost son. Now, please notice the progression of value. One sheep out of 99, that's 1% of the man's wealth. One coin out of 10 silver coins, that's 10% of the woman's wealth. One son out of 2, that would be 30 to 50% of the man's wealth. Because if you have 2 sons, you give the eldest son a double portion, 60%. And the younger would receive his portion, the remainder. However you cut it, we go from 1%, 10% in value, and now up to 50%. Jesus is increasing the intensity. He's raising the stakes, reaching the climax. Therefore, this story is the climax of 3 that he speaks to the Pharisees. The Pharisees are the older brother in this story. The Pharisees are the ones whom Jesus is preaching to. The Pharisees are the ones who need the gospel. And I'm telling you now, if you are religious, if you say that you are a Christian, if you claim that you follow Jesus, be careful that you don't have the heart of an older brother like me. We'll get to him in just a minute, but first, the younger brother. The younger brother, interesting. He asks for his inheritance.
He's very rude. You receive your inheritance when your father dies. So he says to his father, I want my inheritance now. In other words, old man, you're not dying fast enough. Old man, I wish you were dead so that I receive my money. That's the feeling of this younger brother. The father gives the younger man his inheritance. And so the younger man is off to a distant country where he spends, he's a prodigal with the money. He's a joto with the money. Extravagant, loose, and eventually loses all the money. So now where is he? He's in a far off country. That's an expression in the Bible, which is like being as far away from the land that God blessed. He's in a far off country. And not only is he in a far off country, he is so poor that there is a famine. There is a famine in the country. And that's another big expression in the whole Bible. When there is a famine in the country, that means God is judging you. And so we see that this man, he's a terrible son, he goes far off, and God is judging him. And not only that, he is feeding the pigs of one of the citizens of that far off country. For someone who is Jewish or a citizen of Israel to be feeding pigs, that's the lowest of the low. Of course, you cannot eat pigs. So if you are feeding the pigs, wow, you hate to see it. That's like, a Japanese person, a far off country, not necessarily like Africa or Europe, but when you're feeding the pigs in a far off country, for a Japanese person, that's like maybe going to North Korea. And in North Korea, you're so poor that you're working as a slave to the evil government, like you're a slave to Kim Jong-un or something. That's so bad and so low. That's how the Jewish people are hearing the story of this son. In other words, this son he's completely lost. There's no hope for this son. Far off country, in a famine, feeding pigs. I mean, that's strike one, strike two, strike three. This son is out. Okay? But praise be to God that this son realizes I should go home. Now, if I go home, my father would be crazy to receive me back as his son. My father, in this culture, who has every right to come. Because, why? Because the father already died. The father gave the son the money of his death. So, legally, the son is dead to the father is dead to the son. Right? So the son understands this. But he says, I'll go back. I won't be his son. No. I will not be his son. Maybe I can be his slave. That's his thinking. So he comes home. He's practicing his speech. Father, I've been terrible. I've sinned against you. Don't make me a son. I'll just work for you. So he's going home. He's thinking about this. His father sees him from far away. His father has been waiting. Do you have goosebumps? Does the hair on your neck stand up? Do you understand how much love the father has for his son? Have you ever received somebody back? His father looks and he says, his father has what? His father has compassion. The Good Samaritan story. The Samaritan sees the man on the road, he's dying, he's bleeding, he's naked. The Samaritan has compassion. The word in the Greek is splagzipsuma. It means his intestines were flipped upside down. His insides were rolling. Ladies, you understand this feeling of your insides being upside down. My friend was talking about his foster son yesterday. He and his wife were taking care of a 5-year-old boy. His mother had to give him to the foster system because of her drug addiction and just all of the problems in her life. And so the family took the son in for 3 months, 5-year-old boy, and oh my goodness, this boy, just violent, foul mouth, speaking terrible things in the house and breaking things and hitting the other children. It's my friend. And they would have meetings with the mother, and the mother would come to the house and accuse my friend of being a terrible foster parent, calling the foster mother a terrible person. You're not taking care of my son. You're being evil. And the mother has a lot of problems, but my friend, who's a pastor, he's doing his best to take care of her son. Finally, he did something last week that broke the back of my friend. Basically, just went over, crossed the line. And they have to give him away. They have to give him up. The mother would come and she would talk to her son just the worst things. The worst things. She would talk to her son and she said, "I wish you were dead. I want you to die, die, die." The mother was saying this to her own son. When you hear that, do you have a feeling in your stomach? Hearing a mother telling her son that she wants him to die, die, die. Do you have a feeling in your stomach? If you have something in your heart that breaks for that boy, that is a small, small, small fraction of how God feels for a lost son. That is a small shadow of the reality of God's compassion for lost people. God's insides are turned upside down for the people who are walking away from him. And he is waiting. He was watching, waiting to welcome his children back into his family. Do you feel that? That's God's feeling for his lost son. So, the old man in the near Middle Eastern culture, he gets up, he's running to his son. This is unacceptable. I am 44 years old this year. I don't run anymore. You can see by my body, I don't run anymore, right? Not because I shouldn't run. In Japan, the older you are, the more you should run. But in the Middle Eastern, ancient Middle Eastern culture, the older you are, you should not run because that shows no dignity. You should be dignified and walk at your own pace because you are living your life. You don't have to run. But this man, this father, sees his son. Forget culture. Forget shame. Forget honor. Forget my, dignity. I will run to welcome. That's how God feels to welcome his lost children. That's why Jesus, when he went to the cross, forget my honor as God. Forget my glory as the Son of God. Forget my dignity as the God-man. No. I will die. I will love and I will give my whole life. I'll take off all of my honor so that you can become a child of God. That's what the cross means. So that's part one of the story. Now we got to go to part two. Part two. The father is throwing a party. He's celebrating. Now please notice, in the story of the lost sheep, when the shepherd finds his lost sheep, he celebrates. In the story of the lost coin, when the woman finds her coin, she calls her friend and she celebrates. And now the father has received his lost son and he celebrates. He celebrates. Except the brother, the older brother, he will not celebrate. He doesn't want any part of this party. All right, this is the best part. This is what Jesus is trying to get to. You see, as I said before, two kinds of people come to church. The hard heart and the brokenhearted. For those who are hard-hearted, God gives the hammer. For those who are brokenhearted, God gives the glue. But let me switch the metaphor, or let me change the saying a little bit. There's the hard-hearted and then there's the brokenhearted, but you know what? I forgot my metaphor now. I have my notes. Okay. There's the... Okay, let me put it this way. There's the person who is easy on himself and hard on others. Then there's the person who is hard on himself and easy on others. There are two kinds of people, the hard-hearted and the broken-hearted. You flip it, there's the older brother and the younger brother. That's what I meant to say. The older brothers are hard on the younger brothers and easy on themselves. The younger brothers are hard on themselves and kind to others. Does that make sense? You with me? Okay, good. Now I think I'm coming back to it now. The first half of the story, where God welcomes the younger brother, that part of the story is for the brokenhearted. That part of the story is for you who are hard on yourself and kind to others. You know you're not worthy. You know God has every right to reject you. But Jesus gives you that story to let you know the Father is waiting with open arms. Okay? But then there's the other ones. The ones who are easy on themselves and hard on others. That's me. That's all of us here. Some of the time, right? Yeah, I make mistakes. I'm not perfect, but I'm doing my best. Yes, I have my problems and I have my bad habits and I've made my mistakes, but I'm not as bad as so and so. My mistakes are not as bad as da da da. You're hard on others, but you're easy on yourself. You are a hard-hearted person. You are an older brother. And so Jesus is telling us, the older brothers, who are easy on ourselves and hard towards others, who gives ourselves a break but will judge other people. And he says to you, be careful. Be careful. If you can't enjoy a good party because you can't accept other people, you're an older brother. There are people who are coming to the kingdom of God. There are people who are turning to God, repenting of their sins, and becoming a Christian. There are people that God is welcoming into him, into his family. But you think, because you have believed so long, you think you've read so much, you think you've given so much, you deserve more. No. Let me give you three of Jesus' most famous teachings. Everybody in the world knows this. You don't even have to be a follower of Jesus. You know what Jesus' teachings are. Number one, love your enemy. He says that. That's what to be a Christian means. There's people who will hate you, people that don't like you, but you're going to love them. That's number one teaching of a Christian. Number two, give to strangers. People that you don't know, people that might even be of a different class or ethnicity that you may have problems with. Give to them when they're hurting. You have to have compassion. That's Jesus' number two teaching. Every Christian, everyone who follows Jesus Christ, needs to follow that one. And then there's the third one. I think this is one of his most famous ones. Every Christian should understand that they don't deserve heaven just like anybody else. That God receives them just like God receives everyone else. If you've been a Christian since you were a young child, you don't deserve heaven more than someone who has become a Christian at the end of their life. That's what Jesus is teaching here. In other words, when God accepts you and God makes you a child, a member of his family, it's all because of his grace, his love, his kindness. And so, this is what we have to be careful of. If we are Christians, if we follow Jesus, we have to look at our thinking and our heart. And if there's anything there that says, I deserve heaven, but they don't. If there's anything that says, they deserve to have their problems, but I deserve to be blessed. If there's anything like that in our heart or in our mind, be warned, you're an older brother. And here's the problem. You're robbed of joy. There's the joy. Do you see the older brother? He should be happy. He should be in the party. He should be dancing. He should be singing. He should be embracing his brother. But because of his heart that judges his brother, he has no joy. That's why the father is like, my son, come, why do you refuse to be happy? Why don't you want to enjoy with us? So the younger brother repents of his unrighteousness. The older brother repents of his self-righteousness. We all have to repent. We all have to understand that we have to turn away. And many people, if you're a broken-hearted person, you know you're a sinner. You need to repent of sin. You have to repent of those thoughts, those habits, those things that you know, not only God doesn't like, but everybody else doesn't like. Most of the people in this church, not like that. Most of the people in this church are the righteous. We're good people. We're decent people. We don't do those bad things. The danger is we think our good things are good enough for God to receive us. And God says, stop it. Stop it. You repent of your self-righteousness. My mother told me that. She looked me right in my face and said, you think you go to Bible school? You think you can, just because you lead worship and you preach, doesn't mean you're better than everybody else. And I had to go, huh? I had no idea that I was such a self-righteous, arrogant older brother. And I'm here not as your mother, but I'm here as someone who loves you and says, watch out now. Watch out. Watch out. We all have to repent of something. So, that's the good news. Here's the good news. The good news is, for those who are brokenhearted, no, excuse me, for those who are hard-hearted, sorry. If you're hard-hearted, if you think you're good enough for heaven, the truth is, you are much worse than you think you are. You're much worse. That's the gospel. But here's the other side. If you know how bad you are, if you know the evil that's in your heart, the good news is that you are more loved than you could ever be, you could ever dream of. God's heart for you is one of compassion. Deep, eternal, unconditional, welcoming, searching compassion. Do you believe it? Do you accept it? Do you repent of your sin? Do you repent of your self-righteousness? If so, come to the cross. Come to the Father. Now, here's the last thing. The last thing here. The older brother doesn't even want to say the name of his younger brother. Not only that, in this story, the older brother doesn't even say, my brother. Did you notice that? He's talking to the father and he says, that son of yours. Right? He's ashamed to say that he is his brother. Here's Jesus Christ. This is in Hebrews chapter 2. It says that Jesus Christ is not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters. That's what it says, Hebrews 2:23. The one who made us holy is not ashamed to welcome us into his family. Here it is, the gospel, through Jesus Christ, through the cross, we not only become a friend of God, we become brothers and sisters with Jesus Christ. That's the cure for your pride. That's the cure for your arrogance. So, if that's you, let's rejoice in Jesus Christ. If that's you, let's receive our elder brother, Jesus Christ, the good older brother. Let's put our trust in him for all our blessings. Our trust in Jesus for all our forgiveness. Our trust in Jesus for all of our life. Amen? So, for that reason, we celebrate the communion. And in the communion, we take the bread, which is the symbol of Jesus' body that died on the cross. And we take the cup, which is the symbol of Jesus' blood that was shed on the cross. And by receiving the body and receiving the cup, we say, Jesus, we trust you, we follow you, we receive you, and we pray, Jesus, receive me, my heart, my hard heart, my broken heart. Receive my life. So, this is the communion. All right. Just so you know, I'm not going to touch anything. Okay. My hands are clean. And today I brought the tongs. Okay. If you are not comfortable taking the communion, that's okay. You don't have to. But if you would like to take communion together with us, you're more than welcome. I have my proper face shield on, and we have everything set here to go. Okay. But that's if you believe in Jesus, you trust him, and you make him, you call him your Savior and your brother. Now, Communion Sunday, we have the slides. Before we do that, let's reflect on the scripture. Here? Okay, thank you. Good.